There's a lot of stuff that God has done, and the way He's formed and shaped us. And you know, when I think of my many years of saying, "Well, I'm never going to be a pastor," that's for sure, because people are just a pain, and I don't need to deal with this. And God wrestled me to the ground, and I just am so amazed at the way, you know, when Scripture says iron sharpens iron, how much your iron has shaped my iron. And as you all know, I have a lot of shaping left to go. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do on one another, and it's just been so amazing to see God's faithfulness. So many, many times we sense that, boy, this is the end. This thing has happened, and that's the end of this. And then God shows up. And then there's another major crisis, and we think, oh, well, that's it. We're done now. That's the end of this. And then God comes through. And so here we are. And for some of us who knew all of these pictures and were there from the beginning, well, from that beginning at least, you know, just it's an incredible thing to look back and see how God has made us, helped us progress and to grow us up and to teach us things. So that's all I'm going to really say this morning, because I know that our hearts are full this morning of stuff that God has done that we need to share. And it may be bubbling up, and maybe you're afraid you're going to be emotional. It's no big deal. We don't care. So just want to invite you to share the things that are on your heart this morning. The only thing I would ask us to do, we're trying to keep this in recording mode, so if you would come up to the microphone, that would help us. Once you're back there, we can't hear you anyway. And I'm just going to bring the stand down. You can hold it or do whatever you want with it, but let's share the things that God's put on our heart this week and beyond.
Been in the church the entire time. I mean, I don't even remember when we joined, because my memory's bad right now. But we've been here most of the time. I can remember about 99% of those pictures. I don't think I was actually there for some of them, but I remember hearing about them. Sorry. My point is that the people in this church, there's not very many of us. You know, there's not very many of us left. There were never many of us. But we've always, I don't know what the words would be, hit outside our weight class, I guess you could say. There were never many of us, but we always managed to get what God was saying done. Even if, you know, it took one or two of us all just stand up all night praying. You know, I've heard many stories about that. I've done that a few times myself, where, you know, God's like, this is what I want this church to do. And it's like, I've seen you guys in leadership, you know, you guys just destroy yourselves, you know, doing what God said, because it's a very interesting thing to watch when the Lord wants something done, and he doesn't seem to give you enough resources, but then you get it done anyway, and he doesn't just get his purpose done, increases your faith. And that's what I wanted to say. This church, and this church will continue to be, in my opinion, it's been a living example of that. Just watching, you know, as people have left over the years, whether good or bad, you know, good or bad terms, there's so few of us, but we do so much. We don't just do things here. We've even reached out to France and helped them, since they're going through a cultural crisis right now in Great Britain and all over the earth. We even have a guy moved to South Korea or something like that from our church a little while ago. Dad, what was his name? Yeah. We spread everywhere. There's so few of us, yet we hit so much higher than our numbers would suggest, and that's why I just wanted to share. So it's an honor to serve with all you.
Hello. All right, so, for those of me who know me better, you find out that I'm either don't say anything at all, or I talk for a very long time. It tends to be pretty data heavy. But I figured I might as well start to give, you know, a history lesson for those of us who weren't here quite as long. Because I think I was here just about in the beginning of those pictures. Because I remember that the Pokemon games came out in 1998. Because I brought one to church with me the first day that I came. It was in my pocket. You know, I always wear cargo pants every day of my life. So I remember going to the church. It was in the old, we called it the Brunk Building on Industrial Park Drive. And I didn't know anybody. But there were two young boys. I'm not sure I saw many pictures of them. Stuart and David Phillips, who became my best friends in the church. I met them on day one. And the very next week, came back and sat with them. And we sat sort of in the back. And they were brothers, you know, Stuart and David. I think they were maybe 2 years apart, but best friends. And so was I with them. And I sat in the back, and I turned around. And me being new to the church, I didn't know who she was. But I saw this girl. And she was beautiful, let me tell you. And she was followed by a trail of younger girls, probably her sisters or something. And so I turned to these guys who I just met and I said, "Hey man, who is that girl?" And our friendship almost fell out right there because they said, "I don't know." I looked, I said, "What is wrong with you?" Well, it turns out it was her first day too. And that was Liz. So one of my very first memories of the church was when I met my then-to-be, soon-to-be, 10 years later, to be wife. And, you know, I've got a lot of memories like that, because it seems that everywhere this church has been has just had a wealth of adventurous little spots. Because, you know, I was 11 at the time I first came to church, and me and Stuart and David, we would play around in the back of the church, we would go outside the church, we would go back into the waterworks access roads and play before church started, and then we had Joel's Place, which was the Friday night alternative slash metal Christian band meetup. And I would actually go into the back rooms and just play video games with some other buddies there. So there was lots of memories there. Then you saw a picture of a building flooded with water. Well, that wasn't just water. It was doo-doo water straight from the water treatment facility. And my dad and I actually took a canoe through the doo-doo water out to the church, which, you know, it was a huge loss. And, you know, all the chairs were ruined. You saw a picture of Don stacking them up outside. But even in great loss, God tends to perform little miracles, because the church had a stage, and up on the stage is where the sound equipment was. Now this flood flooded into the church about a foot, and the stage was about 13 or 14 inches. So all of the musical equipment, the speakers, if I remember correctly, were fine. And those were, what, thousands of dollars each? Very, very expensive. But that was all spared, so we still had what we needed to worship and, you know, do a sermon, minus chairs. And then from there, we went into the Dozier Middle School right across the street, met there for a while, and that was also pretty fun for me and Stuart and David, because that was actually walking distance from my house. My mom would come into worship, and I would walk to church when I felt like it, and Stuart and David's mom would worship, and it would do the worship practice, and we would all just hang out, and we would go across the street to where they were reconstructing or building new structures for the water treatment facility. And we would explore there. We'd go down to these giant pits where they were digging, you know, to build the big Olympic swimming pool-sized things where they would treat the water, which is now going on. And, you know, we would get lost in there and have lots of fun and come maybe 30 minutes late for the service, get yelled at, huge trouble. It was a lot of fun. And then we came to this building. And this building was also a lot of fun. Now, you may not know it, but across the street a few years ago into that person's personal property, if you walk through the yard, you can go down to where it meets the a little inlet for the York River, and there was a giant tree that fell over the York River and extended. I mean, this thing was giant. So it probably had maybe 40 feet of tree going out over the river, and then you're maybe 20 feet above the ground. We would go out there and play on that tree, and David fell off once, and he was bleeding a lot, but we managed to hide it from his mom, and nobody got in trouble. But, And, you know, there was a lot of fun stuff outside, because they were building a new building over there, you know, the separate one just past the end. So we would go inside of that building, and we found a nail gun that had been left there, so we shot the nail gun a whole bunch of times. And, you know, we would go around the back, and we found a pipe that goes up the outside of the building, found that that could be used to scale the building very easily, so we could get up on top of the roof, and we would yell down. And I remember one time, Clarissa, had fallen asleep on a couch in the upstairs room. So we were yelling down into the chimney, and for the she actually thought that God was talking to her. Anyway, you know, I was still playing Game Boy. So during service, you know, when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, even 17, I would just go up and escape the sermon and, you know, poor Don. People are such trouble, aren't they? So for nearly the last 20 years, Don's been trying to figure out, how do I get this boy, guy, man to sit in my service? And, you know, I love this building. Like all of you, I'm attached to it. But I think that the many opportunities for me to escape, you know, I've been sort of a Jonah. You know, and my place was here in the sermon, in the service, listening and being a part of the group, but I have not been. But I think maybe, in a smaller setting, even closer to home, maybe this is where I need to be. So Don can finally have me around where I belong. So I'll miss the church, but just like the last time we lost the church, small miracles can come along with it.
I'm just going to read because what happens when I come up and talk in front of people, I get really nervous and then I can't remember anything. So my mind just goes blank. I can't even remember people's names or anything. So, anyways, as I put the slideshow together using Sue's pictures, I couldn't help but feel a sense of appreciation for both Don and Sue, as well as the people that have come and gone over the years. The photos of Don and Sue being commissioned by our former pastor, Dave Shirky, and wife Jenny were especially powerful. In those photos, I sensed God's Holy Spirit anointing upon Don and Sue. It was not a mistake or accident that they became pastors of this church. They were specifically chosen by God for this task. And that's, you know, those photos really, even though I've always kind of known that, it really, like, they were just, it was just powerful understanding of, wow, you know. And recently I've struggled with a sense of failure in this mission that our family has been a part of for nearly 20 years. Our children grew up in this church, like some of your children as well. And we've developed close friendships with members over the years. Yet we watched helplessly as the numbers of members declined. As I scrolled through all the photos and saw pictures of people who have come and gone, some on good terms, some on not so good terms, I began to realize that these people who have come and gone, regardless of the reasons for their departure, were all people that we as a whole have had an impact upon. They are people who needed Jesus just like all of us, and for a time in their lives, we were privileged to be Jesus to them and with them. So many memories came to mind as I watched the slideshow, and my heart became filled with pride and gratitude. Pride that God used us even for a short time in so many people's lives. Gratitude that they called us friends, however brief. The scripture says that one man plants and another waters, but God alone gives the increase. God alone grows us, prunes us, and causes us to bear fruit. We have planted and we have watered, but God increased the lives of so many people. I'm also filled with gratitude for those of you who have remained through thick and thin. Your steadfast commitment is inspiring and has helped me more than I can say. Because of you, I have grown as a believer and as a person. I have received wise counsel, prayers, words of encouragement, glimpses of Jesus through many of you many times over. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Keith and Tammy, when you guys came to the Vineyard, it was at a particularly challenging time, and you were like a breath of fresh air to us. When you started leading worship, we desperately needed you. We needed the respite that you brought, your talent, your mature leadership. I'm grateful for your giftings, which stretch far beyond worship leading. Thank you for taking some of our children under your wings, mentoring and teaching them about worship leading and music. Thank you for leading them gently as they built their skill and for encouraging them with your words and by your example instead of tearing them down because they had not yet become accomplished musicians. Thank you for giving them opportunities to grow that I know they wouldn't have had elsewhere. Thank you for your patience with me as well as I learned to be a worship leader and servant. Thank you for allowing me time to gain confidence and always reminding me that I was singing and playing to an audience of one. I value your friendship, and I truly love you guys. Don and Sue, I have watched you as our church faced hardships of many kinds. Your faith is unwavering, and your commitment has never faltered. I have seen you sacrifice so much, and yet still face disappointment after disappointment, while caring for people so much. Instead of writing people off, you prayed and loved them anyway and trusted God in every situation when perhaps the rest of us may not have. Every week you've tirelessly served in so many practical ways. Week after week you have come early to get things ready for service, to make the coffee we all enjoy, to bring treats for us to snack on, to prepare curriculum for teaching our children, to pray for us as you prepared the message for Sunday morning. You've counseled us, taught us, officiated our weddings and some funerals, visited our sick, created ties between Yorktown churches, planted churches in France, and other things that I'm sure I've left out. You've gone above and beyond without fail. That sounds like success to me. That sounds like being the hands and feet of Jesus. And best of all, you've been our devoted and beloved friends and a huge blessing to us. I'll never forget that Don drove all the way to Jacksonville, North Carolina through a hurricane to marry our daughter Elizabeth and son-in-law John. When our kids have been in the hospital, they were there, ready to with hugs, practical support, prayer. There are too many times to count that you've been there for us in our most difficult times, and it would take me too much time to recount them all. There aren't enough words that could help me express the gratitude and appreciation I feel for you both. And there are many of you too that I've, you know, that I really love. You guys, Anglins, all of you, you know, that I've gotten to know a little bit. And some of you I'm still, you know, don't know that well, but I want to get to know you better. And I really appreciate all of you, really. And we may not know what God has in store for us, but like the mystery within a wrapped gift and the anticipation that comes in waiting for Christmas morning, I'm looking forward to discovery of what is yet to come. God is in the waiting. God is in the anticipation. God is in the gift giving. God is in the mystery. God is in the revelation. God is the surprise. And this is the word that has been on my heart these past weeks. It's from Romans 18:15-28. And any of you who know me know that I love this verse. And I love to read it from the Message because of how the Message says it. So, this resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created word itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs, but it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish with us. We are enlarged in the waiting. Well, we, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail of our lives of love for God is worked into something good. And that's my hope for us as well, that, you know, there's something good to come.
Hello. You know, something when Keith, when you were saying what Anna said about being attached to the building, reminded me of a story my father, well, was that not a story, but it was a lesson my dad taught me a long, long time ago. My dad passed away in August, so it's been kind of a cool couple of months just remembering good things that he taught me over the years. But I just wanted to share this story. I grew up in Newport News, and I don't know if any of you grew up in Newport News, but I mean, I remember, you grew up in Newport News, that's cool, okay. Well, back when I was in high school, I guess, when you go up Warwick Boulevard toward Hilton, and there was this place, clearing from the woods, right past the hospital, and it used to be where there was a baseball park there. And I remember one day, I was riding with my dad in the car, we were driving up Warwick Boulevard, and they had just torn down the baseball park, and they're like making it back into a park, just and letting the trees grow or whatever. And my dad said to me, "You know what? That was the first building I ever built. Was the dugout of that baseball park." He said, "I think I was right out of college, and that was my first job, getting to design the dugout." And I said, "Wow, Dad, how do you feel about that now that they're tearing that down?" He said, "Well, I think he had been practicing architecture for 20, maybe, I don't know how many years. I can remember, maybe 20 years at that point." And he said, "Well, you know, that's one of those things that I had to learn about architecture is you build buildings and people are going to tear them down." And I knew my dad really cared about his buildings and all. And he always talked about this is my giving back to God, putting shadows on the earth and all that. And so he said, "Well, one of the things that I learned about buildings is that practicing architecture isn't about building buildings. It's about building relationships with people. It's the people you build the buildings for that you get to know, and you put something, hopefully you build a building in their heart, and they build a building in your heart. And those are the buildings that never get torn down." Well, so I was thinking about that when you were talking about we get attached to a building, and we get attached to buildings. You know, if you look at the history of Christianity, the practice of the religion of Christianity, the buildings are all about how we look at God. You know, why did they build great cathedrals where the ceilings were real high? Why did they make the ceilings real high? Do you know why? They made the ceilings real high so that people would look up and be in awe, and they would feel humbled by that. Why did they build, you know, flying buttresses and stained glass windows and all this? The history of architecture is about the history of man's relationship with God. And these were lessons that my dad taught me 30 years or whatever. I was 53 when he died, so I just have, you know, 40 years of these lessons of talking about relationship with God. With God and buildings. And so I was thinking about that, and I just wanted to encourage you, because if you look at at really where the people practice their relationship with God, it's always about going out and going out. You know, the Great Commission isn't find a nice place and build a beautiful building. It was go out into the world. Preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I remember, if you will indulge me, I'd like to tell another story. When I was growing up, we went to a church that was a very missionary based, and every year we have this convention, and all the missionaries, or not all the missionaries, all the missionaries that could would come on, what's it called, furlough, I think, when they're home. Is that right? Furlough. Yeah, and they would come home, and I remember one time we had all these missionaries, and I was talking to one of them, and it was really cool because for years, growing up in this church, we prayed for these people and prayed for these people, and every Sunday we listed all the missionaries, and the church, this church was a big, pretty big church, New Covenant. And then we must have prayed for about 20 different missionaries every week. And so it was cool. In the summer, we got to meet these people. And they were like, yes, it's good to be back in the home church, you know, be back at home. And we're like, I don't even know you. How are you part of... this is my home because I keep coming every week. It's not your home. You're over there in Malaysia or Indonesia or... get this. Iran and Afghanistan. I mean, so that was really cool because I had to learn that it's not who's sitting in the seats. It's the church is all over. And all the people who have come and gone, we've built the building in their hearts so that when they don't come back, the Peninsula Vineyard or whatever the heck it's called now goes out and is bigger, and we have thousands of members because of the buildings that we've built. You've built, you've built, you've built, you've built in their hearts.
Well, with that, I just want to add a little bit. As I was praying this week and asking the Lord, you know, what are you doing? And kind of trying to do the homework assignment, I read in Luke where the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, when will the kingdom come? And Jesus said, the kingdom's not here or there. The kingdom's within you. And so as we go out from these four walls, well, more than four, but we take the kingdom with us. And I was really impressed as we were watching the video that a lot of the pictures weren't in the buildings that we've met at. They were outside of the buildings. They were in other people's buildings, or they were in the park, or they were outside here, out walking the road, cleaning up trash. And so we have always taken the church outside the walls. And we're going to continue doing that as the Lord moves in each one of us, and we take him to our jobs, and we take him to our families, and everybody that we come in contact with. And that's this is really what I feel like the Lord is doing and saying in each one of us today, is it's not here, it's within us, it's what we take with us, and what he does in us that we then overflow with and bring it to those around us.
Yeah, sometimes. No, I do care. I do care. Sorry, I do care. I do care. And that, and yeah. Yeah, all that, like everybody's kind of talked about it. Since starting here, I mean, I was coming to the church, I think I've mentioned it before, we found a vineyard the first day we drove by because it was surrounded by barbed wire fence. And we were, and then I looked over, and there was people coming in, and they weren't dressed up like they were going to church. They were dressed up like this, and I said, "Amelia, I think that's a vineyard, like they make bottled wine there, you know, bottle some wine. So let's just keep going up Industrial Park, and maybe it's on the other side of Industrial Park. And I'm thinking, so we went home and, you know, didn't go to church that first Sunday we were here in 98. And she called the church and said, no, that was us. Yeah, so it brings back a lot of memories, that whole slide presentation of all the people like Amelia and everyone else has talked about that we've met, that, you know, sometimes, you know, there's no intention of hurting people, but yet people get hurt, including us as leaders. We get hurt. So, you know, and I think that was the reason why maybe there was some separation for, you know, things that when I look back at them and I'm thinking, wow, you know, that, you know, I think the Lord was moving there, but they took it in the wrong way, or we didn't interpret the Lord right, and we approached somebody in the wrong way. And so, yeah, forgive us if we've, forgive me if I've offended or done wrong, which I know I have, because I've had to apologize in the front, and I've meant that apology, and I hope you'll never forget that. But yeah, I could talk all afternoon about every one of those pictures. I mean, you know, one thing I do really remember about when we first moved into this building, the many nights I spent with Larry, especially putting them stairs in. You talk about a quality carpenter. He was it. He fixed all our problems when we had issues with this building, trying to move in on a what is it called? When you are finally allowed to, occupancy permit. You know, we never got our permanent occupancy permit. Never did.
This is being recorded.
Oh, sorry. No. We're leaving, man. And that was quite unique, and I think that was the Lord, because they gave us a certain amount of time to take care of these problems, and we the Lord said, just close your eyes and ignore them. But that was recorded too. But I think what I see for the future, for the beginning of January, is when we gather together. And I, again, if every one of y'all show up the first Sunday, you know, officially the first Sunday of January, but you can come to New Year's Eve one too. I mean, you're going to pack Jeff's home. It's going to be packed. And I guarantee you, when you worship in an enclosed area, that's going to be wonderful. And when you pray together, that's going to be wonderful. We've experienced that when we went into the retreat out in Chetamanix. We were in that home. And when Keith and Tammy led worship, it was just like amazing. I recorded it and shared it on Facebook. Some of my friends that me and Emil used to go to a home church to, she says, wow, that reminds me of so many memories. When we met in homes, and Amelia later on was, we came up in a home church. It was during that period of time when that was the big thing to do. And there was many home churches in the area in North Carolina around Jacksonville, New Bern, Little Washington, areas like that. And it was hosted by, or not hosted, but it was hosted by someone in a home. And, back then, it was during the charismatic movement. Back then, there was people that we considered apostles, people that we considered prophets, people that we considered like that. And so, you know, that's just the breadth of what God can do. I mean, from a home church to a building to cathedrals to all that. But, you know, the intimacy that we're going to experience, I think, it's going to be one of a lot of love. I mean, I think we're going to be, I mean, to the point that you cannot escape the presence of the Lord and His Holy Spirit when we're in a small location. And I hope that encourages you to go out and just tell the people that you know, say, hey, listen, experience it once and see what it's like. I'm not telling you to pull them out of another church. I'm just saying, hey, you meet somebody in the grocery store, in a convenience store, or on the street, and just say, hey, come here. You'll be loved, and you'll experience the Lord, and probably in quite a different way than you probably were brought up in and that you even have seen. So I encourage you to come and support us. Amen. So next, who's number? Thank you.
Good morning. So I've been coming to church now for about 10 years, and the only guy from Ohio, not Idaho Horse, but Ohio, you guys have become family. Every single one of you is family. When I go out to sea, I think of you guys, and it just brings joy to me when I think of you guys. And I have two scriptures that have been laying on my heart, so I'm going to read them. First one comes out of Galatians 5:22 from the Message. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and the conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, but we're able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. That is our church. That's what Don and Sue, the A-team, has embodied. And day in and day out, they show that. I can't tell you how many times I text Don, like, hey, Don, I need a ride to the hospital. And he's texting the hospital. The last surgery, you guys don't know this, I'm going to share it. He was sitting in the pre-waiting room before I went back in surgery. And he was there for hours until Bob came and said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the other one, so you know what's going on with me. This is senselessness that you have, the helpless. You're just so awesome, Don. We love you.
I specialize in senselessness.
Selfishness, yeah. And the last message is from Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. Moving out of this building is a building. It's not because we're not successful. We're moving to a small home, small environment, where, as everyone said already, it's going to be so intimate. Worship's going to be so powerful. When, as Keith was talking about with the worship circles, what happens in that circle is so intimate and so beautiful. God's going to take our little body and explode. So go forth with a cheerful disposition. Don't let gloom and doom set, but be cheerful.
The assignment that Pastor Don gave us last Sunday, I took him very literally. I did. And it says here, ask the Lord this week, what is the more fruit, evidence of spiritual growth that he's pruning and preparing you to bear? And I wrote that, which I wasn't, I even looked up some words to make sure I understood what he was saying here. So I thought, okay, I went through a whole lot of stuff, and then I thought, well, you know, let me think of something that's more recent. And the more recent thing that I did was, go away from me, make fun. The first word when he was talking with us last Sunday, the first word came up was trust. Trust is the number one word that God wants us to do, so trust him. And then, not only I wrote in handwriting, not only in me trusting God, but he trusting me with things that he wants me to do. So I heard that word either here from you or someone else or read it in these books. I can't keep up, you know. And so I thought, oh, yeah, he wants to trust me in doing whatever it is that he's planning for us, whatever my part is. And so the one song that comes to my mind that we've sung here is called, you know, Oceans. It says, "You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand." So I thought about this one thing that I read up, told Pastor Don and Sue about prayer and fasting, where that, you know, how that works for us in our relationship with the Lord. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try that, because this is right after we heard the news about us, you know, moving out. And I thought, okay, so I want to do this. And I know in the past we were all called to fast, and I've tried it, but I wasn't really sure about it. We've even had classes that our pastor has, you know, invited us to do together that has made me have more understanding of what all this is about. So when I asked the Lord, I said, "Can I honor you in my fast? What should I fast from? Because, you know, I get nervous about stuff, you know. I don't know if I can do it. It's this big thing that I don't know that I can really do." So the one thing that came to my mind, and no laughing, it was chocolate. And chocolate is the biggest thing for me to run to, or to feel bored, I go to that. So I actually have done that. I fasted from chocolate. And I believe the Lord really thought that's a good place for me to start, because I have had no desire for it. I had not been tempted for it. It was nothing to me to do that. So I thought, okay, God, I'm making this connection with you. I would spend my time with the Lord. I would spend time in prayer. I would spend time in asking. I've been spending time listening. And so I have December 1st. I read where there's a beginning and an end. So I said that. I said, okay, December 1st. First, I said Thanksgiving. I said, no, that's cheating. So I said December 1st. So I did that. And in reflecting on that, I felt like self-control was the big thing. That's what it helped me to have self-control. And the self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So I thought, okay, I made that connection. But also, when I think about us as a family moving to another place, I again, it's the same thing everyone is saying. I received the same stuff, that it would be one a time of excitement to me to look forward to what he's going to do, that I would hear him as everyone would hear him, to do whatever it is he's asking us to do, to be open for that. And it was like I got all excited about it, you know. So I do look forward to what the more, you know, the Lord is going to do, that I hope I can hear and pray about that, and to say, "Hey, Pastor Don, guess what? What do you think about this?" You know, something, you know, because I'll get stuff like that. But but the prayer for the end of this, you know, that I'm encouraged for what will be new for us, and I pray that part of the song is of Oceans. It says, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and to take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger." And in a lot of things up to now, I feel that the Lord has done that, to take me deeper to where I would never go to the jails. I would never think to do that, and he's done that. So I know, I have believed that he can do that for the rest of us.
Just written some things down, but it's so scattered. I'm so impressed that you all are so sequential. It was wonderful, so that I could understand what you were saying. I took it the way Angela was. I took it very literally. You know, what's the fruit? What's God calling me? And maybe as he's changing me, I'll be better for the fellowship. I'll be a better, you know, influence or whatever. God's just really taking me back to the basics.
You know, if a plant doesn't survive without nourishment, water, you know, the nutrients, water, and sunshine, well, neither can a person. So, I mean, God is just sending me back to what makes me think I can survive in this world without God's word? What makes me think that I could survive in this world without an intimate relationship with him in prayer? I mean, that's totally illogical. What makes me think I can be busy like crazy, busy, 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 and not slow down enough to listen to Jesus? You know, what makes me think that works? That's illogical. And so God, and actually for a long, long time, has been sending me back to the basics, sending me back to being quiet, sending me back. And so I guess my thing is that I hope to have a greater awareness that I can hear him better. I'll be a better listener listening to him. So the other thing that is very strong is that I just understand you guys are the treasure. When God looks at you, you are the treasure. I mean, he's the treasure, but when he looks at you, you're treasure. You're his beloved. You are his treasure. And and you're amazing. And I want us all to really say, God, I am not my own. I am bought with a price. So what do you want me to do? But maybe more important, who do you want me to be? And so God is more than happy to communicate all that with us. But I love you, you know, your treasure. I've always had difficulty loving the body of Christ. But I mean, I think it's more like church experiences, if you know what I mean. And I've had several of those where I'm going, the body of Christ, body of Christ. It's not really here, but in other places as I've grown up, you know. And God has always made me come back to love the body of Christ. Eleanor Mumford had a big influence on me in that way. But just loving the body of Christ. So I love you. You're the treasure. I've learned so much from you. I've learned so much from you. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
I don't normally get up, not one to speak publicly, but Angela and Sue, what you said was, you know, dead on. And, you know, we came here in 2009 during some very difficult times. First person that took me in and loved me actually was Larry. He doesn't know it, but he's such a gentle listener and a humble heart. And he just let me pour my heart out to him while we were painting one day. And I thought, why am I talking to this man? I don't know. But he was a very dear friend, and it really made me feel welcomed. And there was a couple other that have left that also took me in and made me feel very welcomed in a time when there was just no trust in life anymore. I have to apologize to you two. I don't normally talk a lot about my personal prophetic life, because you know the story of me being stoned a few times and being put down. But a couple years ago, when I was cleaning the church, I came up to the parking lot, and as I was pulling in, I saw chains on the door, and I couldn't understand how I was going to get in, so I immediately picked up the phone and I was going to call you. But then when I looked back up, the chains just weren't there. And kind of kept it to myself because I didn't want to go through what I had been through before, and that trust issue was there. So I've been praying the last year for our church, knowing that something big was coming, but just not quite what. And a lot of it goes back to trust. And I, knowing what I know now, Sue, I could have called you, I know that, but sometimes it's hard to break through that, because you just don't want to be stoned one more time. So I need to apologize for that. Before you left for France, we have our little home group, and we put them in the hot seats to pray for them. And I remember I looked at Angela when I put my hand on your shoulder, Don. My heart wept. You were so burdened and so broken. And it instantly took my breath away, and my heart wept. And I have to apologize again. I know I was supposed to pray for those two ladies in France, but I spent more time praying for you, that God would lift that and cover you with his grace and his trust and take the burden off, because what's happened here is not your fault. It's God's plan and has nothing to do with you. And I just want you to hear that. I too also did some searching this week when we got the little blue notes that someone brought me wonderfully. He's been keeping me in touch on Sundays when I'm not here. I found it ironic that I had no idea Sunday you were talking about trust, and then Wednesday we were talking about trust again. I thought God is so good at connecting things when we listen to him. And that's what we kind of were going over Wednesday night, was just trusting God. How do we trust him in the midst of all things? We don't know what the next chapter is. We don't know where it's going to lead us. But we can, all of us, from our life experiences and spiritual experiences, know that God is there and he's going to lead us through. So, but it was another thing that really was a good connection today. I was talking to someone just today, and we were talking about, you know, it's times when the buildings don't mean anything. We are the people. And if you think about the biblical times, they met in homes, they gathered from place to place, and that's what it even said in Acts. You know, they fellowshiped and broke bread in homes, they went from home to homes, and we were just sitting there talking about that, and I thought, you know, God's got a plan, and it's for each one of us, you know, to be a part of that plan. Some have already left the church knowing that it's going to close, some have not, but I think God knows which ones are going to see this through, and the bigger chapter that's coming is going to be bigger than we can ever experience. I do know that. That's what God has placed on my heart. This isn't the end. This is the beginning of something bigger that's growing. But to grow something bigger, we have to be pruned. We have to be weeded. Because if you let a garden get overgrown with weeds, you know what happens. It doesn't thrive. It doesn't produce harvest. And like you, Angela, I was really kind of just meditating, saying, okay, God, what's the next chapter for us? But what does this mean personally for me? And you hit it on the head, Sue. God has been calling me personally back to a place of just the basics. Quit reading self-help books. Quit following the latest trend of what the pastors are saying on TV, and just open the Bible and go back to the basics of sitting in his presence, slowing down and hearing his word. And there's something big in that. If we just all take a back, sit back seat for a minute, sit down and hear his word. And that's kind of where I'm at, and I thank you. But we love y'all.
Am I cutting anybody off? You want to jump? Leanne, you're jumping?
I just want to say that when I walk into this room, this building, and I look at each person here, and every time I see your face and look at you, I have to truly say I love you, and then I feel that we're a family. And when you say, well, we're a part of the family of God, which is strong and great, and we are blood family, his blood, and I just, there aren't the words to describe my love and appreciation and how I feel for each one of you. It's like every person in the room when you come in, it's like it sometimes gets so filled that I can't explain how it flows over and out. There's just not enough words. And each person here, I just know that I love you and I thank you for being part of my life. And when I go home, you're still with me.
Okay, we're going to finish with a time of communion. We've been sharing together in God's presence, and this is really exciting. So I think what we can do is let's take communion, but let's stand here maybe in like a semicircle. I don't think we can quite make a circle, but and then we'll take the elements together. So do what we normally do, but stay up here, and then we'll just close with prayer. So let me pray for us as we prepare our hearts here, as we're continuing in this attitude of communion with the Lord and with one another. Father, you have obviously been really busy in our hearts and in our lives over these years, and you remain faithful when we stumble and fall and get lost and go on detours and all of that, and you're always there waiting for us. Every time we look up, every time you call us to look up, every time you help us up, you're there with a heart of undiminished love. And so thank you for these years. Thank you for each one who enriches our lives by their journey with you. And so we come because we recognize that the reason we have this life together, that we are a part of this thing called the church, is because of your sacrifice for us. And so we come and we share in these elements together this morning, these elements of a new life that we have in you. And we celebrate you this morning and we bless your name, Father, because you have loved us and you continue to love us and you direct us up and out of ourselves and into a grand adventure that begins in 2018. So we thank you for your presence and thank you for your great love for us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.